What we're going to talk about today is, in which instances do we assume that there is a reason to make an imitation mitzvah? So for example, if you live in a generation where you are unable to perform one of the mitzvos, would we suggest, would we advise a person living at those times that they should do at least something that will resemble the age-old mitzvah that used to be observed? So the story really begins as follows. This connects to what we spoke about yesterday. For those who were here yesterday, we talked about a shul that does not have a Sefer Torah. And the Rambam and the Rashba and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the Magen Avraham all spoke about what to do in such a circumstance. And the Magen Avraham comes to the conclusion that if you only have a printed Chumash, you should read from the printed Chumash. Not because you will be able to fulfill your obligation of Kriyas HaTorah, but rather, Kedei Shelo Tishtakach Torah's Kriyas HaTorah. In order that nobody should have the mistaken impression that we don't have Torah reading on Shabbos morning, therefore, says the Magen Avraham, we would advise such a community that they should read from a printed Chumash, even though it is clearly not a kosher Sefer Torah. So, on which instances would we say that it's preferable for a person to try to find something that will be a substitute? And on which occasions do we say, well, if you don't have the item itself, if you don't really have the mitzvah that you're supposed to do, so forget it, onus rachmana patri, God assumes that you are not obligated to do it, and we don't have to be concerned that someone's going to forget about the mitzvah. Everybody knows this is an emergency situation. This is not the norm, and we have nothing to worry about. That is the question, and the answer to that is really not a clear one at all. And the story begins as follows. Chazal say in the Sefri in Parshas Ekev, on the Pasuk V'samtem es devarai ele, we say this every day in our Kriya Shema. So on that, the Sefri says, Afal pisha ani megala eschem min haaretz, l'chutz la'aretz. Even though there's going to come a time when you will no longer be in Eretz Yisrael, and now you will find yourselves in Chutz La'aretz, in exile, still the Ribbono Shel Olam warns us, Heyu Mitzuyanim B'mitzvos, make sure that you observe the mitzvos even there, Shekish Shetechazru, so that in order that when you come back to Eretz Yisrael, Lo Yiyu Aleichem Chadashim, they shouldn't be a surprise to you. So make sure that you observe all the mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz, as long as when you get back to Eretz Yisrael, you'll be able to remember what the mitzvahs are. And then he quotes a pasuk and say, for Yirmiyah Hatzivi L'chad Tziyunim, that the Jewish people have to make sure that they make themselves reminders. And we have to remind ourselves of all those mitzvahs in order that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, we will know exactly what to do. Now, what is this Sefri referring to? Does he mean we should make sure to keep Shabbos in Chutz La'aretz in order that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, we'll all remember to keep Shabbos? Is he telling us we should all wear tzitzis and tefillin and chutz la'aretz in order that when we get back to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to wear the tzitzis and tefillin as we always did? How can that be what the Sefri means? We have an obligation, it's called a chovas haguf. We have an obligation that applies to every individual, that they have to keep Shabbos regardless of where you are. It's not a chovas hakarka, it has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. You have to keep Shabbos both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in chutz la'aretz. You have to wear tefillin whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz. You have to wear tzitzis whether you're here or you're there. So can that really be what the Sefri has in mind? Telling all of us you're going to go into exile, you're going to go into Galus, and make sure that you wear tzitzis and tefillin and keep Shabbos because someday you're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Is that really what it means? Let us see. So Rashi writes in there in Parshas Ekev, V'samtem es devarai, af la'achar shetiglu. Even after you go into exile, says Rashi, make sure that you wear tefillin. And make sure, even though you're in Galus, that you put up a mezuzah. Kidei shelo yiyu lachem chadashim kishetechazru. In order that this shouldn't be a surprise when you come back to Eretz Yisrael. So make sure all the years of Galus that you wear tefillin, make sure all the years of Galus that you put on tzitzis, make sure you keep Shabbos, says Rashi, because we want to be careful that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, everybody will know exactly what to do. Now this is a pella. This makes no sense. We have to keep tefillin, and we have to keep Shabbos, and we have to wear tzitzis, regardless of the fact that we're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. We have to keep it because it's a chovas haguf, because I have an individual obligation to do those mitzvos, regardless of where it is that I live or which generation I live in. So what does Rashi mean? What does Rashi mean? This is the question of the Vilna Gaon. And in many different svarim of the Vilna Gaon's Torah, they quote this from the Vilna Gaon and they say, he could not understand what Rashi is coming to teach us. And he believed that this is a tos hadafus. The Vilna Gaon said, this must be a mistake. It's always the easy answer. If you see something in Rashi that doesn't make sense, so you say, it's just a mistake. Now, that's the easy answer for us, but the Vilna Gaon had good reason to say that it was a mistake, because he says this really doesn't make any sense. So he tries to recreate where the mistake crept in from. What did Rashi really say in the original Ksav Rashi? Berashi Hayashan, he says, in the old version of Rashi, maybe this is what it said. Maybe it said you should make sure that you keep Hey, Tav, Ayin, Mem. What is that a reference to? He says, they thought it means, our Rashi today was Mifaneach the Rashi Tevos. They spelled it out for us, and they said it's Hanichu Tvilin, Asu Mezuzos. But really, that's not what the original Rashi said. Says the Vilna Gaon, maybe what it originally meant to say was, Hafrishu Trumos, that's Hey Tav, and Isru Masros, Ayin Mem. So maybe, says the Vilna Gaon, that's what the original Rashi had. Hey, Tav, Ayin, Mem. We thought it meant that we should be Hanichu Tfilin Asu Mezuzos. But really, it's a big mistake. Really, what it meant to say was Hafrishu Truma and Isru Maisros. And here the Torah warns us, being that those mitzvahs of Trumas and Maisros only apply in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz, and you're going to be in exile for so many generations, for so many years, we need to make sure that we're not going to forget the mitzvah of Trumas and Maisros, and therefore what we're going to suggest is that even in Chutz La'aretz, you make a pretend. You make the mitzvah as if it still exists, in order that when you come back to Eretz Yisrael, you should all remember that there's an institution of Trumas and Maisros and all of the mitzvahs HaTeluyos Ba'aretz. That, says the Vilna Gaon, is all Rashi meant. There's no way that we can accept Rashi at the face value the way he's printed in every single one of our Chumashim. Vilna Gaon says it must be a major mistake. Now the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Waldenberg, writes, this cannot be true. What do you mean? Rashi, for centuries, has been the way we find it in our Chumash. So you're going to tell me all those Chumashim are wrong and everybody just made one big mistake and they just didn't understand how to interpret the Rashi Tevos of Rashi, Hey, Tav, Ayin, Mem? It can't be. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, it can't be, and not only can it not be just because how can you assume that a mistake crept in for that many generations, but even without that, he says, if you just look in the way the Sefri sets up the Pasuk, he says it just doesn't make sense that that's what it's referring to. You're going to tell me that here the Sefri is really describing Trumas and Maisros? It just doesn't fit into the whole discussion that the Sefri has. And therefore he says, Rashi is what it is. It's a problem. We don't fully understand what Rashi means, but Rashi should be left alone. So the Radvaz, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, has a suggestion on his own. What does this Sefri mean? What does it mean when we're told that we should make sure to keep the mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz? Because someday we're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. What about the fact that we need to do them just because we are Jews and God expects every Jew to keep all of the mitzvos? So says the Radvaz as follows. V'hutzrach lahazhiram. Why do we have to be warned? Afal pishem chovas aguv, even though the mitzvah of tefillin and the mitzvah of talis are an individual obligation that we all have, regardless of where we live, still he says we were warned that we are going to go into exile, and mipnei dochak shibud hagalus v'hagzeros v'hashmados. We know that there are going to come times when they will have decrees against us, and they're going to say, there's no tefillin anymore, and no Shabbos anymore, and no tzitzis anymore. Says the Radvaz, this Sefri is just telling us a very practical consideration. Make sure that even in those generations when you're going to be living, and there will be a decree against you performing the mitzvos, make sure that you still do the mitzvah of tefillin and the mitzvah of tzitzis as best as you can. Not because it doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz, but because there will come a time when once again you'll be brought back to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to have the opportunity to be under our own sovereignty with our own government, doing the mitzvahs the way we're supposed to. And therefore, he says, that is all the Sefri means to tell us, and says the Radvaz, that is all that we are being instructed to look after when we are in Galus. Now, the problem with that is the fact that obviously, if we live in a generation where they have a decree not to wear tefillin and not to wear tzitzis, we are not supposed to be doing these things. You're not allowed to be moser nefesh for a mitzvah that is not one of the big three. Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, Shvichas Damim, that's it. But if they tell you you're not allowed to wear tefillin, you cannot risk your life to go wear the tefillin anyway. You're supposed to make sure you look after yourself. So what does the Radvaz mean? Why is he telling us that the Torah warns us specifically, explicitly, that we have to look out and make sure that we do the right thing? And perhaps what Rashi and the Radvaz here mean is a very simple idea, and that is, even if we live at a time where we are unable to get tefillin because there is no sofer around, and we don't have any commerce, and we don't have travelers going back and forth, and we are under siege or whatever it might be, maybe what Rashi means to tell us is, we should wear some kind of imitation tefillin even then. There's an amazing sefer called the Tzuar Hamor. I know nothing about it. It was written in the 1400s by Rabbi Avram Saba. He was one of the great Gedolei Svarad, and he lived in Portugal. He was part of the Spanish Inquisition, if I understand the dates correctly. He passed away in 1508, so I think it makes sense. So, right, is that correct? Mm-hmm. So the Rabbi Avram Saba has a sefer on Chumash called the Tzoror HaMor. And he has a comment there that is quoted by many other Svarim. And he writes on the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Says the Tzoror HaMor, Im yigzeru shelo yanichu tefillin, kamo shekara bimei chachmei HaTalmud. What if you live in a generation, like the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos Memtes, there was a time when there was a decree against the Jews that they weren't allowed to wear tefillin. Vikara gam came to Portugal, says Rabbi Avram Saba, it happened in my lifetime that there was a decree that we weren't allowed to wear tefillin, we weren't allowed to do certain mitzvos. Roy shatas elachal simanim v'tikshor chut shani al yadecha. Take a shoelace and put it on your hand. Why would you do that? Says that Tzoror HaMor, you do it because we want to make sure that no one will ever forget the mitzvah of tefillin. What if you live in a generation where they have this decree and it lingers on for 20 years, for 30 years, for 40 years? Our grandchildren won't even know that the mitzvah of tefillin existed. And therefore, he says, if you're not allowed to wear tzitzis, if you're not allowed to wear tefillin, do something to make some kind of replica that will remind your children of the mitzvah, in order that when they have the opportunity once again to do the mitzvah, they will go back and perform the mitzvah of tefillin. And perhaps that is what Rashi means here. The Torah tells us we're going to go into exile, and sometimes there might be a gzeira against us to do the mitzvah. Maybe what Rashi means here, I don't know, but maybe what he means to teach us is that we have to make sure we do it anyway. So the Avodram talks about what is the evolution of the Haftorah. Why do we lay in Haftorah on Shabbos morning? The original Takana was, you should lay in Kriyas HaTorah from a Sefer Torah. So why do we have Haftorah at all? The Avodram explains very simply. Lama maftirim b'navi, lefi shegazer al Yisrael shelo yikru b'Torah. There was a gzera against the Jewish people that they weren't allowed to read from the Torah itself, and therefore they decided we're going to have an imitation Kriyas HaTorah. And we have now instituted that everybody, every Shabbos, has to take out a Navi, because that wasn't part of the decree of whatever community they were living in. And therefore, in order that we should never forget the institution of reading Torah on Shabbos morning in Shul, we now have this idea of reading the Haftorah. So you see that there is such a precedent, there is such a concept, that when you are unable to do the mitzvah the way it's supposed to be done, we will try to do something else that will be a replica, that will be an imitation mitzvah, that will stand in the place of the mitzvah itself. And that is really what the Magen Avraham means in our story that we spoke about yesterday. If you have a community that for some reason does not have a Sefer Torah on Shabbos morning, writes the Magen Avraham, Kidei shelo tishtakach Torah's Kriyas HaTorah, we don't want anyone to forget that on Shabbos morning you need to lay in from the Sefer Torah, you need to lay in from the Chumash. Therefore, he says, in the absence of a Sefer Torah, you should go ahead and read from a Chumash itself. The problem with all of this is that we have a Gemara Maseches Sukkah that says clearly that one is not supposed to do that. Says the Gemara, what happens if you live in a generation where for some reason you don't have an available Esrog, either because it was a bad season, or you read the stories about the old Jews in Europe who used to wait longingly, traveling around everywhere to try to find themselves a lulav, an esrog that they can use, and sometimes they weren't able to buy one. Either they didn't have money, or it just simply was not available. So says the Gemara, what happens if one year I don't have any esrogim? Nobody has an esrog to use. So somebody says, you know, we have a good idea. Why don't we take a different item? Take a bouquet of roses, or take a pomegranate, or take an apple. This way, at least, it will look, in some way, it will resemble the old mitzvah. Says the Gemara, how do you know that you're not allowed to take a rimon or a parish? You're not allowed to take anything else in the absence of an esrog. Forget it. You only take what you have. If all you have one year is a lulav, so all you take that year is a lulav. And the Gemara says you have no right to put something else in the place of the esrog. It's better that you just take the lulav alone and leave the absence of the esrog the way it is. So don't you see from there that when a person is unable to perform a mitzvah the way it's supposed to be done, you just leave it as it is. You don't try to make an imitation mitzvah and have something else stand in its place. So why is it that all of a sudden here, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, when it comes to other aspects of Jewish life, we find that we do make some kind of replica to the old mitzvah that once was? Why should that be the case? By Afreshas Challah also we're told, the mitzvah of Challah is also Kedei Shelo Tishtakach Toras Challah. We now have the mitzvah Midrabanan of Challah in Chutz Laaretz, even though it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. All of that was simply because we don't want people to forget about the mitzvah when we'll come back to Eretz Yisrael. If that's the case, why do we find by Esrog that over there the Gemara tells us clearly that if you don't have an Esrog, you take nothing. You don't put something else in its place. And that is the question that is asked by The Imre Emes, the great Gerer Rebbe, and many others ask the same question as well. And he answers the following, and the truth is, the Ravid already on Hilchas Lulav, the Ravid in his commentary on the Rambam, already writes exactly what the Imre Emes said. I don't know if the Imre Emes saw the Ravid, but that's exactly what the Ravid explains. And he says as follows, why is it that we do not need to make some kind of replica if you are missing an Esrog one year? He explains very simply because no one's going to make a mistake. Let's say we have no Esrogim this year. And next year there's also a shortage. And the following year, 5, 10 years, there's no Esrogim. Now all of a sudden we have an Esrog again. No one's going to say, oh, I remember my great-grandfather only took a lulav. Look back in the Torah and you'll see. The Torah says, Ulekachtem lechem ayom harishon, pri etz hadar, kapos tamarim, anaf etz avos, arve nachal. The Torah tells you you need to take 4 different items. So who cares that you remember it being done differently? No one's going to ultimately make that mistake and do it wrong when we have the opportunity to do it the proper way in the future. However, he says, therefore he says there's no reason to make an imitation mitzvah. Even in the absence of an esrog, just do it as it is. No one will make a mistake later. You don't have a concern of shelo tishtakach toras esrog. The mitzvah of esrog will never be forgotten because the Torah instructs us exactly how to do it. But when you have something which is not mentioned explicitly in the Torah, where you have something which is not exactly clear. Take, for example, this story of the Tzor Hamor, where he says there was a generation in Portugal when they told us we're not allowed to wear tefillin. So he said, we took a shoelace and we put it around our arm. Of what value is that? Kedei shelo tishtakach toras tefillin. We don't want our grandchildren to forget. So, is that really something that fits into this category or not? I would say, look back in the Torah. The Torah says you should wear tefillin, al yodecha, and therefore writes the Imre Emes, you have to look at every single situation and judge it on its own merit to figure out whether or not it falls into this category of, if we don't do some kind of imitation, we will forget about the mitzvah for all eternity. And that is a great danger. Those are the times, he says, is where the Gemara assumes that we should do some kind of mitzvah that will stand in the place of the old mitzvah the way it was, in order that we should never forget. Now you have to really look at every case and figure out if it fits into the formula. But this is the answer that the Imre Emes gives, and I think it's a very important discussion in the first place to really consider where it is that the Chachamim will tell us to do some kind of substitute for the mitzvah that we are unable to do, and where it is that the Chachamim clearly tell us that if you don't have the opportunity to do the mitzvah, you should just forget about it. Onus Rachmana Patria, no reason to have any other mitzvah stand there in its place.